Hey guys, welcome back to the Evan and Caitlin podcast, the only podcast that can grant you the legal right of a potato. We can just legally say, boom, you're a potato. And you're legally a potato.
We've been watching too much Danny Gonzalez reviews bad mobile ads.
Yeah, there's these mobile ads out there that say, like, if you get to level 2, you are legally a pumpkin. It's just like, it's just so random. If that mobile game can legally grant you the status as a pumpkin, why can't I legally grant someone a status as a potato?
Yeah. I mean, we were just driving, I think yesterday, and we saw this billboard that was for a lawyer, and it was like, Houston's own lawyer. And we're like, that's such a nonsense statement. But then it made us think of that you are legally a pumpkin. And it was like, what if billboards and traditional media started doing that?
Like, technically, is what I said false? Can I legally dub you a potato? Because what is legally a potato?
Is there like a potato license?
I don't know.
I mean, you could think of like what is by definition a potato, but like legally a potato.
legally
that's a different
a potato. Oh wow.
Congratulations, everyone. My husband has made you potatoes.
Congrats. You are all potatoes on this glorious day. Well, welcome back to another Evan and Caitlin podcast. Things have been really nice over here.
We have some exciting news.
Oh, yeah. We are legally Twitch partners. Well, actually, we signed a contract.
Yay. Twitch partners.
And what does that mean for people who don't really follow along with Twitch? That basically means that, okay. So you guys probably know us from YouTube. That's where we're biggest. But we also have been playing games on Twitch. Twitch is a streaming platform where most people play games, although there are people doing art and other things now. Mm-hmm. And when you first start, you just are a streamer. Then you can reach partner status.
Affiliate
status, where you can start making money. And as a partner, there's kind of some additional perks unlocked and everything like that. Basically, it's just going to allow us to keep on continuing with the gaming stuff we've been doing and get more legit over there.
We get more emotes.
More emotes.
That's what I'm excited
more opportunities.
About.
Yeah. And more
and
things.
And the purple check mark. The dang purple check mark. Excited.
It shouldn't matter as much as it does,
but
it does.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
Remember when YouTube took away everyone's gray check mark?
Oh, people were upset.
I was upset.
Oh,
I was so sad.
Upset.
Oh, I remember,
worked so hard for that.
I was like explaining it to my mom. And I was like, no, it's like a whole thing.
And I think your mom had never even seen it. Didn't even know that we had a check mark. I mean,
But then after I explained, then she was like, oh, they better give you guys back your check marks.
So that's really exciting new news topic. One other thing that we've been up to recently that's been successful in the end.
But taking over a lot of time.
Oh, guys, brainstorming ideas. This could be a whole topic in and of itself.
We probably should make it a whole topic at some point.
I feel like we already have done a topic on how we come up with ideas.
Oh, yeah.
that things have changed as we've refined how we make videos, how we do titles and thumbnails, and how we think about the videos that we're doing. Because, you know, when we commit to a project, that's 30 hours each for us or so. That's 60 hours. And whether or not it does okay, amazing, or poorly all revolves around the idea. Like, there are a lot of you guys that would probably watch most of our videos, unless they were really, really bad in some strange way.
But there's a lot of people that pick and choose.
That pick and choose. And also, most of our views come from non-subscribers, which is a cool place to be in. That means that we have a big reach. But then, you know, it's like the success of our videos relies on us doing something a little bit strange, a little bit interesting, a unique twist, a new use of a material, what have you. And there have been humans on this earth doing new things for a long time. So it's like you have to kind of put a little thought and time into these ideas. If we were just to do another, you know, standard table, okay, why are we doing that?
Why is our table special?
Are we contributing something new into the world of ideas? Are we going to provide some extra entertaining, juicy content? I don't know. So these are the things that run through our minds a lot. And it's also a balance between, are we being too silly or are we being too practical with our content? Is the mix right? How does it affect the schedule?
And that's a big part of it, because we have a list of, no joke, probably 100 different ideas that we've been collecting over the past few years. And a lot of times that's what we'll pull from. But then during these brainstorming sessions where we're at the point of like
execution,
needing to execute it,
yeah,
you know, we'll go through ideas and we're like, these 10 right here are like top tier ideas. I really want to do them, but none of those we can tackle in the next week and a half. Like, it's not possible.
And or, you know, like, we're also trying not to do too many resin things.
Yeah.
We want to become the resin channel, even though we like resin.
Yeah. Or yeah, exactly. Or it's like, we did 2 projects with resin. That means we can't do another project that has resin. Or we did 2, you know, we did a couple like sillier things. That means it needs to be like a more practical build. Like, there's all these various things that we try to balance. And basically, we went down this brainstorming path to like 90% on one idea that took a bunch of planning. We purchased a bunch of items. We like special ordered some stuff. And then we were like, wait, there's some variables here that we haven't, that like actually make this not really work. And we don't have time to figure them out.
Yeah.
Because if we tried it and it didn't, and we couldn't figure them out, there's no time to switch gears and do another project. So
yeah, the underlying concept was like pretty good, but then when it came to actually executing it, when we started planning out the details, we're like, oh wait, there's this and then this and then that. We're going to be losing one of the aspects of this that made the project interesting, and then
we switch gears completely
and we brainstorm for 2 days.
Yeah,
because that's a lot of brainstorming. But I mean, at the same time, I think it's worth it, because we weren't just brainstorming one idea. We have generated a whole bunch of ideas and a whole bunch of leads, and we can start working down those on the side. Like, while Caitlin's editing, I'll start, you know, doing the CAD or sourcing materials and supplies and figuring out like, okay, we can either hand make this or we can find the perfect things on the internet to order that will do the same thing, but that will save us 12 hours.
Yeah.
And it's worth putting a few hours into that.
I think one of the biggest things, though, about brainstorming that makes it slightly less frustrating now is, before, if we devoted a whole day to brainstorming, like, even if we came out at the end with an idea, it still felt like so much, quote unquote, wasted time. And that was really hard, especially when our schedule was a lot tighter and there was less wiggle room. But I feel like now that we've had several of these extra long brainstorming sessions, and we've since used ideas that at the time that they were brainstormed, you know, we just like jotted them down, but we're like, no, it's not the right one for right now. But then we've gone back and used them. And then I think that makes me now be more able to see the brainstorming days is like, I mean, it's still kind of frustrating when it takes so long, but I see it more as an investment.
It's another big change that's undergone the brainstorming process for us is, when we were so rushed, the amount of stress that we went through when we didn't have an idea and we had to scramble, and then we had to order supplies, and then they took 2 days to come in, and we didn't have the things that we needed, and we knew that we were just going to pay horribly for that time later on. We just weren't able to enjoy brainstorming. We weren't able to enjoy those days that we were brainstorming and where we were waiting. And I think the biggest change is, now that we have a less aggressive schedule that has a little bit of wiggle room built in, we haven't been able to get ahead. We haven't been able to like build up a lead, but we have been able to live a life that we can enjoy a lot more of our days.
Yeah, it's not as stressful.
Because like we have a good life and everything, but when we had so little time in our schedule, a day could be just ruined if anything went wrong.
Yeah.
Because we just didn't have that day to spare.
Yeah.
So I think that when we build a reasonable schedule into our life, we've benefited so much from it. Oh my gosh.
So speaking,
and it's only been like 4 weeks.
I was just about to segue.
Oh, okay. Sorry, go for it.
Speaking of things that take up all your time, today we're going to talk about TikTok.
Which has been like Caitlin's new time suck. You know that like thing that you do, like for a lot of people, it's TikTok. For a lot of people, it is TikTok. But like before, for me, it was Reddit I'd like it pulled into Reddit every now and then. Or for some people, they just keep some on browsing Twitter. On Twitter or whatever that thing is that like you pull up in your idle moments. That thing,
yeah, that
like,
your thumb automatically goes to even when it's not the app you meant to pull up. And then all of a sudden you're like, I was going to check my calendar, but now I'm on TikTok.
So Caitlin, how did your TikTok obsession start? It's because you were being responsible and you wanted to research, right?
I wanted to research. Well, because, I mean, so many people were talking about it. And like from a business perspective, social media perspective, I was very interested. And
because the best time to get in on a platform is
earlier. Possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the best time is right when it's starting up. The second best time is immediately.
Yeah. And like when you're listening, when you hear about it from like your younger cousins, you're like, okay, you know. But then when you hear about it from people that you don't expect to be on it and they're even on it too, and then you're like, well, dang it, should I be on it? So I remember listening to like the Made for Profit podcast, which is like a maker business podcast, and they were talking about it and I was like, okay, maybe we should look into it.
Well, so, and let's give a little background. TikTok is an app for your phone where you watch videos. You can't really use it on any other device. It's not made for desktop viewing or anything like that. You can view the videos there, but that's not at all what it's meant for.
And it's 15 to 60 second videos. And I think like the misconception, which is the misconception I had, but I think a lot of people have, is that it's mostly like lip syncing and dancing.
Well, that's where it got its start.
That's where it started.
The app started as Musical.ly. And basically all it was is people dancing and lip syncing. That was pretty much it.
But now it's just become like
a video platform.
Yes.
Short format video platform.
But like on top of that, I think the distinctive feature is it's just like made for memes. And meme isn't really the right word, but like everything is
to a trend.
Trends in the same way that memes trend, where like one person will do a meme and it'll get big, and then like there's all these subtle variations and it grows and changes and grows and changes, and then like it's like a big inside joke if you are familiar with the meme and other people don't get it.
And the trends will last from a day or two to like months.
And the reason that it like is so conducive to this is because the way it works is audio from any single TikTok, you can say, use this audio and then record your own TikTok to that audio. And it's like, it encourages it. So, you know, one person will upload a song or select a song, or it might just be like their own audio. Like they might just be talking to the camera, whatever it is, it'll get popular. And then other people will just use that audio. And so it's
or like, remix it or tweak it to come up with their own version. And then it'll spread in again. Or what have you.
But it's like built for that. So it's really interesting being on there and starting to like see the trends and, you know, decide which ones you like and decide which ones you don't like. And I don't know. It's a lot. It's interesting also because when I first opened it up, I didn't really know where to go. So like I was just on the quote unquote For You page, which is like the homepage. And
that's their like super algorithm heavy page.
And at first I didn't want to heart anything because I didn't know like, oh, will people see what videos I've hearted, you know? And so I would just watch, and it wasn't, you know, it was like, okay, but it wasn't great. Once I started hearting stuff, it like knew me immediately.
Cause you hearted cats and you got more cats.
I hearted like funny things.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
Well, because I'm guessing that if you go on to this app like TikTok and you heart all the sing along ones, and then you'll just get more sing along ones. Or if you heart the dancing ones, you'll get more dancing ones.
Comedy skits, you'll get comedy skits.
Yeah. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Caitlin protects me from the worst of like going through the garbage TikTok, because we share an account because we have so many accounts already. So when I got on TikTok, Caitlin had been using TikTok for
I just remember a few weeks. At first I was like, should I like follow a hashtag or something or go to like a category? So I went to like the DIY and crafting category and I just like clicked on a few of the thumbnails. And then one was this like girl dancing and I was like, this isn't crafting. And I got upset.
False advertising.
False advertising. False tagging. So I was very upset. And then I was like, I'm not going to the like categories pages anymore. They're all false.
False.
But then eventually it started like learning me. Yeah, I guess learning me. I guess yeah. I'm saying words right. Words are hard. Anyways. And I remember like around Christmas is when I really started getting sucked into it. And I kept like, I would show you one every now and then. But the main thing is I kept getting the songs in my head.
Or a like, lot. And then
it's not just songs,
get them in my head.
It's not just songs. It's also like statements too that you can say in response to many situations.
And then there's Chunky.
He's dead.
It's like so some you don't like they only make sense if you've watched enough TikToks and know how to use like what goes along with that like first, sound.
At first I was just quoting them like by myself to you and I'd have to explain it every time, but then finally
I got addicted too.
And now we quote them together and not, drive other people crazy.
I'm not fully addicted like Caitlin is.
You're pretty addicted.
No, I don't. You're probably like five times more addicted in terms of watch time.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
I'm still doing research, okay?
Research, research. Very important research.
It's research.
Well, let's move on to some of our first impressions. Like one thing that was very interesting to me because I was looking at this like a business. I was looking at this like as a content creator and as a like just platform to see what its strategy was. And one thing that's very interesting is I noticed that there were a lot of just people, just normal people, not full-time content creators, not whatever. Like, you know how Instagram has a lot of users on it, but the only people you follow are your family, your friends, and that's all you see in your feed. Unless you hear about someone somewhere else or you want to follow some famous person or whatever, then you follow their feed and then Instagram will show it to you more or less depending on how much you engage with that person. With TikTok, it's just everyone is making content, and if the algorithm deems that this normal person's TikTok that they recorded on a random Saturday of them making a funny voice in front of their mirror is worth showing to millions of people, so be it. Mm-hmm. This dude or lady, whatever, that did a like random funny thing, they didn't even think about it, they just did it, and now it has like 12 million views. You know, it's like the amount of exposure it can thrust people into unexpectedly. Just like, you know, so you might get on TikTok just to like make TikToks with your friends, or like, you know, like people might use it like Instagram, except the algorithm might like pluck that thing and blow it up.
I didn't think about that. Like if you got
an insane amount. Yeah, because some people are trying for that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are trying, but
some people might not be.
Yeah, interestingly, in the feed, like in the For You feed, I can be scrolling and see like a video with 2 million views and then a video with literally zero views. And I'm like, oh, I'm the first view.
Yeah.
You know? And or not views, hearts, but because I don't think it shows you views unless you tap on it. Anyways, it's very interesting because it seems much more democratic and like,
and I think
it's like, not based on previous clout.
Yeah.
You know?
Now that does help. It does seem to help. Like more followers you have, the higher a chance you have of getting that like boom going for you.
But it seems like it's less biased than Instagram or YouTube.
Yeah. So let's talk about our journey on TikTok.
By the way, we have a TikTok. I think we might have mentioned it.
The podcast is probably the very first place we mentioned it. We mentioned it, I think, once on the podcast.
And then twice on a stream.
Once or twice on a stream. And when we uploaded our very first video, how many followers did we have? 70?
70.
We had 70 followers, which is, it's a number. It is something. It's more than zero. So we had 70 followers. And we launched our first video. What was our first?
Our first two videos are just me messing around trying to learn how to edit on TikTok. And then the third video
Caitlin put a lot of effort into.
Yeah, I mean, a decent amount of effort. And it's not really TikTok-y. Like, half of our, two-thirds of our stuff on there isn't really TikTok-y, because it's just me taking footage from our videos and, like, trying to make it work in a TikTok format. But I did, like, a, you know, 60-second version of our cactus video. Yeah. So that was our third video.
And then from that one video... from the first two videos, I'm not sure if we got like any growth at all.
Not really.
We got like
a few hundred views.
And then after that one video that Caitlin put like that extra love into, we got over 15,000 followers and 500,000 views, which
in 24 hours.
In 24 hours, we've never done that on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
To put that in perspective. And in terms of watch time, it's a lot less. It was 60 seconds of content. But for 500,000 people to see that, that type of insane growth and views and potential, that kind of definitely caught my attention a lot more than I had previously given TikTok. I was like, wow. And, you know, in terms of monetization, it's not there. You can't, unless you're doing like a sponsored deal with a company, but that's also hard to do on TikTok, because if it's not getting engagement, it's not going to be shown to anyone. TikTok is even more algorithm heavy than any other platform,
I think once you're bigger, you can probably guess the minimum amount of
Views. Maybe.
Because like when I click on people's profiles, you can kind of see trends. If you've been doing it long enough, I think you could guess like a minimum amount of views.
But I mean, on YouTube, we're making 25 minutes of content and we embed a 60-second advertisement within that 25 minutes. And that balance is pretty good, I think, in terms of general content.
Better than TV,
you know? But for if you only have 60 seconds or less, if you're going to do an advertisement or an integration,
it has to be... A lot of pressure on it being good.
It has to be the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the integration has to be highly entertaining and shareable and commentable. Otherwise, it's going to tank and be bad.
Yeah. And I don't know if we'll do sponsored stuff on TikTok.
I don't know either.
It seems so far away. Right now, we're just trying to like learn it.
Right now, it's like, you know, we're investing time into it because Caitlin enjoys TikTok, but also because we see some growth, advertising, like awareness spreading. Because on the internet, as people who make content for the internet, the more people have seen you and or are aware of you, the better it is just in general for whatever future thing we do. Mm-hmm. So spreading brand awareness, which is a strange thing to say, it's just our faces, it's just us, our names. That is beneficial to us as a company.
Yeah, it is interesting. Oh yeah, and the video, the cactus video. So it's been like a week and a half now, and now it's at 1.2 million views and we're at 37K followers. And since then we've done like five or so other videos. None of them have done as good.
I think nearly
one's over 100,000. We have a couple in the 20s. We have a couple like under 10. So clearly it's like we got lucky on that.
But I mean, it's soon going to be our biggest social media account, which is, I mean, you know, besides YouTube. YouTube is our number one largest
account.
But
like, we've been building our Instagram for like over 3 years now, and we just passed 50,000. TikTok's going to pass that.
Yeah, in like a couple weeks.
And we haven't even like announced it on our channel.
Yeah, we haven't once shared that we have a TikTok on YouTube or any videos, like, or Instagram,
only on the
or
podcast
Twitter.
And live streams.
Yeah. And that started off with that helped us gain 70 people.
Yeah.
Which is like,
again, it's not nothing.
Not nothing. Zero, but it's not the highest conversion.
It's just like
nothing. I know that people who are watching the podcast may not care about TikTok. You know, like that's why we're putting our content on a whole bunch of platforms, because everyone has a favorite way to engage with the internet. Some people don't like other, like some people don't like Twitter. Or they don't have Twitter for whatever reason, or
so
what have
you. We gotta be on everything.
Yeah.
Except for Snapchat. Never Snapchat.
It's redundant. Like,
it's
like
redundant.
Having Snapchat doesn't add anything that I can see.
Well, because Instagram does stories.
This is one of the biggest things about TikTok, though. Discovery. Discoverability is at the heart of TikTok. TikTok is always shoving new things in your face and seeing if they stick. Mm-hmm. You're like, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? on Instagram, they only show you what you want.
Yeah.
Besides ads. What you want plus ads. But there's no discoverability built in. I mean, there's the homepage. There's the explore.
You mean the explore page?
Explore page.
But like, but, I've never gone to the explore page and followed someone because of that. Once in a while, I'll go there just to be like, what is Instagram showing me?
I think most growth, for us at least, because we're that type of channel. I mean, like, maybe you, I don't know if people do this, but like, what if you wanted to add memes to your page? I guess you could like browse memes or browse just random dogs and cats that are cute and just follow some of that on Instagram. But for us, no one's really just going to be browsing Instagram and see us and say, oh yeah, I want to follow along with them and I care about them and their story and their journey. But for TikTok, I think there is a high possibility for organic growth on that platform because of the discoverability. And I think that's one of the reasons it stands out a lot amongst all the other platforms for us.
Well, I think also, I at first didn't really know how to view it because for platforms, there's social media platforms and then there are content platforms.
TikTok is a little bit of both, but it's more on the content side.
I think it's 100% content. I think of social media as like.
Well, it depends on how you use it. Some people use it kind of like to do behind the scenes, like social media type things. I mean,
but I don't consider that social. I don't know. Social media, I think, is mostly about interaction.
Yeah.
And I think content sites are mostly about entertainment.
Now, it really depends. I mean, within TikTok, kind of like within YouTube. Within YouTube, there's all sorts of videos, all sorts of vibes, all sorts of different intents and everything like that. And when TikTok was Musical.ly, it was only one thing. Mm-hmm. People dancing and people lip syncing. Mm-hmm. But as TikTok has gotten bigger, it's mainly just a place to distribute short content, short form content. Mm-hmm. And it can be whatever, if you're big enough, because there's a whole bunch of celebrities and people coming on this platform. And if you're big enough, you can use it however the heck you want. And you're still going to get enough views and engagement. So there's some like TV show personalities or movie personalities just like, hey, I'm behind the scenes and I'm here doing whatever.
Yeah.
And like that kind of goes against what TikTok was grown as and what most people use it as. But they're still finding some certain amount of success just by doing that. So it is just like content delivery.
Yeah. But I think it lends itself more to content, being a content platform than being a social media platform.
I think that's what it's best used for.
Yeah. It's also interesting because like if you think about other apps like Instagram or Twitter or Reddit, you consume it in a more like multitasky kind of way. Like most people don't sit aside time to like, well, here's my Instagram 20 minutes and I'm just going to do this. Most people pull it up if they're like, oh, I'm waiting on like the oven to heat up, or I'm like standing like at the grocery store, or like I have a show on, but it's not that great. I'm just going to browse, you know, but because TikTok relies on you actively listening and watching, it's kind of just like short YouTube, you know, where you have to
rapid fire YouTube roulette. It's so YouTube roulette. Like tiny YouTube roulette.
And so it's interesting because you can't just do it passively or while you're doing something else as easily, because one, I mean, I guess like if you had your headphones on, you could do it out in public. But like it just requires more attention, you know.
Let's get into the positives and negatives of TikTok in our short
few months stay.
Well, you've been on it for months?
Yeah, I started like before December.
Wow. Okay, so months.
February.
Okay, so my 1 month of experience with it, because it's been a lot less for me. The positives that I see kind of relate to it more from like a like logic and business point of view in a way. I just think it's really interesting because when YouTube was first starting out, from the stories I've heard, not that I was, you know, we were there in early YouTube, but it was like very much all about you. It was just about like individual creators and giving them a platform and this very Wild West but organic type of growth and there were some people kind of abusing the system, but it was very much like you, the you part of YouTube was strong. And as YouTube has grown as a platform and gotten bigger, and companies recognize the potential for monetization and marketing and all of the different things that YouTube can be made used for, like a lot of the biggest viewer, like viewership channels on YouTube are like a ton of music videos, a ton of like bigger companies and stuff. And as like the reach and power of YouTube has expanded, YouTube has had to, just because of how powerful it is, they've had to regulate it more. They've had to control it more. And I feel like in a way it, like, you know, they're having some like people complaining that YouTube isn't as much about you anymore. It's about bigger things. But that's no problem. That's through no fault of YouTube. That's just because YouTube has gotten so much publicity, power, and attention that has had to like put those measures in place to protect kids, to protect politics, to protect all of these things. I mean, they're under a lot of pressure. Like YouTube it got too powerful. It just became too powerful. When YouTube was tiny and flying under the radar, yeah, it could be about like just people and people doing whatever and everything. But like YouTube is now the second biggest search engine in the world.
Yeah, only behind Google.
Yeah, only behind Google, which also shows YouTube videos. If you like the number one and number two portals that people use the internet with basically tie into YouTube. And YouTube is that just puts YouTube in such a powerful place that they've had to put rules and restrictions in place, which.
So you like the Wild West-ness of TikTok?
I kind of like the Wild West-ness of TikTok. It's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of this video that we watched about Vine. Who did that?
Oh, Drew Gooden?
Drew Gooden did a very interesting video on Viners. Where are they now? And he kind of reflected back on Vine and the history of it and everything like that. And one thing that was very interesting to him is, or an interesting aspect of Vine to him was, it was the first rung in the ladder of climbing multimedia. You know, it allowed people to go from zero to that first rung where they gathered an audience. And I think that that might be an interesting parallel between YouTube and TikTok, where you can get huge exposure if you like come up the right clever thing or get under the right hashtag. You can blow up in interesting ways on TikTok. And then you can maybe ride that to something more, to something different, to some platform where you can monetize a little bit more, which I think is interesting. But I think that another aspect of things is, if you aren't utilizing those other platforms, then like, what's the point of TikTok as a business? I'm not sure.
I think a lot of people that are popular on TikTok
don't care about that. They're like young.
Yeah. It's like it making money isn't the priority right now. And that doesn't mean to say that they're not like, business minded.
It's all about clout. It's all about like,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's not to say that they're not business minded.
Yeah.
You know, they may know that like building an audience can be valuable for them, but
they're not,
but they're not paying bills.
Yeah.
So like the money doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but 16, also I wonder like if you are 16 and you have 5 million followers on TikTok and you have this social clout, but you haven't yet figured out how to monetize it. You don't know about the ins and outs of merch and tax and sales tax. But like you haven't encountered those logistics. I wonder if people are getting like false senses of their monetizableness. Mm. You know, like is that something that's going to be happening? People like who are famous on TikTok and they're 17.
They think they're set for life.
They graduate high school. And then they say, I don't need college. I have 5 million TikTok followers. And then they try to do it like a merch launch. And then they get fined by the state of California for like selling within their state without proper licensing. Like, is that going to be the story that we're reading about in 1 or 2 years? I don't know.
It's going to be fascinating.
That'd just be like, oh, that'd be sad. Don't do that. If any famous TikTokers are listening to this podcast, to all of them.
Yes.
Shout out to all of you.
Your research.
All of you TikTokers.
Ask your parents.
Oh, jeez. That makes us sound so old.
Oh, you know, for TikTok, we are probably above the average age. Although one thing that surprised me was there's a lot of people like in their late 20s, early 30s.
And there's so many old people. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. There's old people, too. Oh, yeah.
Like grandmas, grandpas.
That,
like,
there's
like
that one old couple. You
that one old
heard
couple.
A couple of her
oh,
things.
Yeah.
She's hilarious.
They put out a lot of content.
Yeah, they do. And but I was thinking, like, man, if I was like retired, I'd probably be making TikToks too. What do you have to lose? Like, it's just fun, you know. I think, like, interestingly, so like I like it a lot as a consumer of it.
Mm.
When I first did my first couple like super jankily edited videos that I edited in the TikTok app, I liked it as a user of it. Once I figured out how to edit, I was like, oh, it's kind of fun. I just like take one of the trending audios and I like do my own thing to it. This is fun. And then when I edited the Cat Kiss one, editing it, I was like, man, this feels like work, kind of.
And then I think once you're done with it, you're like, if this doesn't do well, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah, and then it did well, and then I did
and
a bunch
I got
of
like
others.
A million, yeah. And then it's like, what do? Do you chase that like million and million views and all of those followers?
The thing is, like,
do you just have fun doing silly videos? It's like
what I want to do is just do silly stuff. But if I'm thinking about it from a business perspective, we should do things that at least relate. Because I don't see us monetizing on TikTok anytime soon and like doing sponsorships there. We don't even like do that on like it's like super rare that we even do a sponsored like Instagram or Twitter post.
Yeah, it's just so annoying.
Like we only do it if brands really, really want.
I mean,
it.
We also don't want usually, to bother you guys. Yeah, and it's not like compared to what our income earning potential on YouTube, that's worth the extra effort and that's worth like, you know, trying to make it the best it can be for you guys, entertaining, but also like that's how our business runs. You know, we run off of sponsors. It's still 60% or more of our income comes from sponsors. But like compared to the amount we can earn on YouTube, the amount we can earn on Instagram or Twitter isn't like really worth it.
Yeah.
So it's not worth the bother.
So I don't see us like monetizing on TikTok pretty soon. So for me, if I'm thinking from like, okay, business perspective.
Yeah.
The main reason is like to introduce other people to us who might get curious and look us up on other platforms.
Yeah.
So if I'm thinking of it from that perspective, then like our videos should be like project/making related. They should have us in them.
Yeah.
You know, and we've
and our personality.
And our personality.
If all you're doing is just dancing and you do a really good dance, are people gonna follow you? Because
well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess
that's
so.
Like a huge percentage of TikTokers.
Yeah, it's just foreign to me.
Well, no, but that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is if our goal is to have people find us on YouTube.
Oh yeah, like
we need to hook them with something that is indicative of what's on our YouTube. You know what I mean?
It'd be so funny if like we just like went all in with the dancing trend and we just practice all the dances and the
moves.
And then
people look us up on YouTube and they're like, what?
I thought that they were going to be dancing here.
Professional dance.
Why aren't they dancing? What's up with all this resin? I want the dancing.
Like, I don't
want
to like bait and switch. But I also just want to like do dumb stuff that follows the trends that I think is funny.
I think one of the downsides of TikTok, though, because everything is so reliant on the algorithm and everything, like, you know, people don't get alerts for when you upload a TikTok. People don't.
I mean, you might be able to sign up for that. We don't follow anyone, so it might be different if we actually followed people.
I think they'll just show up in your For You more frequently.
No, I get notifications.
You get notifications?
Yeah, I turn them off. But it was just like things that the algorithm like once
based
a day,
on our experience so far of
on
1 month and
so far.
And three months on Caitlin's part, I guess it's like the few weeks where we've been posting videos, the views are all over the place, and from looking at other people's profiles, that's a very common theme.
Mm-hmm.
And on YouTube with the content we've crafted our business around, we have been able to get fairly reliable views. And I feel like that's a really good sign of success in a way. And on TikTok, we just don't even know what success looks like.
We don't even know what to do on there.
And then also it's like, I haven't found anyone who just constantly kills it.
I found one, I think. It's going to be my thing of the week.
Okay.
So I won't say.
We'll get there later. Neat. Well, I think that, is that a good place to wrap up on TikTok?
Maybe it's time for our thing of the week.
We have one last note. What do we think the future of TikTok holds?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so TikTok has to make money. They're a company.
And they saw what happened to Vine.
Yeah. So now when you open up TikTok now, I've noticed, you get an ad.
Mm-hmm. You get an ad.
My guess is like the easiest way to monetize more.
As you swipe, there are official sponsored advertisements.
Oh. So that could be all they need.
I mean, I think that's just probably
turn the valve on that up and down as you need more or less money.
That's probably all they need themselves to stay afloat.
Oh yeah.
The other part of it, this was one of the like faults of Vine, is a bunch of the like top Viners got together and demanded to be paid, and Vine was like, "We're not making money. We can't pay you." So like, if that repeats itself on TikTok, and a bunch of creators threaten to leave if they don't get paid, they're going to have to find some way to like do built-in monetization. Now, that may not be an issue because, you know, on Vine in 6 seconds, it was probably a lot harder to do a sponsored post. Whereas on TikTok, people are already working with brands independently the same way they do on Instagram. You know, Instagram doesn't have built-in monetization.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of people that are full-time Instagrammers. So it could just stay as is.
It could.
If it's, you know, built-in ads, but no creator monetization.
Yeah.
But I do feel like they might lose some people to YouTube. Because if people Yeah. Well, I don't know if they've lost people, but we've noticed some TikTokers on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or that are like trying to start their YouTube channels based off their TikTok success.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll just have to see how things go. I mean, TikTok has been around in some form as Musical.ly for like, 3 years?
Yeah, I don't know.
They've survived for a while
somehow.
And it's just going to be interesting to see what happens for us and for the platform as a whole.
Yeah, so it's very fascinating.
We'll let you know probably in like 6 months to a year how things have gone. but you know, we're starting and it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's like a fun game to play.
Yeah. All right, guys. It's time for Thing of the Week. All right. So my Thing of the Week is Paradise Tropical Tea. Yum. It comes in a 50 pack. That's the only way we've been able to find
it. Get it on Amazon.
And that'll last you for a long time. But if you're making iced tea at home and you want it to taste like that delicious fancy tea that you get at restaurants, this is how to do it. You just buy your own fancy delicious tea and you have it in your refrigerator.
And it comes in like the tea bag is pretty big. So it's enough for like one of those...
like 2 gallon jug type things.
Yeah, like 2 gallon tea canister type of things. So it's not like you have to do, you know, 10 individual little tea bags. It's like meant for making large amounts of iced tea. Yeah. It's so good.
It's so good. And it's so intense. I actually like, we brew it full strength. And then I actually add a little bit of water and lemonade on top. And it's amazing.
But yeah, do you want to say why that's your pick? Do you remember?
We were in a live stream and chat asked us what our favorite tea was.
Yeah, we said pick it as our thing of the week so that we could.
And we wrote it down and we remembered.
Yes. Okay. So my thing of the week in theme with this episode, in case you're like, I'm going to check out TikTok, but I don't know where to start. I'm going to recommend a TikToker who I like. Her handle is Oddity Draws, and it's AUDITY Draws, and she's an art account.
Is she the one that did the she has her Gordon. Husband often there?
Yeah.
That was cute. I like that.
Yeah. So she's an artist. She has like a really cute kind of cartoony style, and she has like various series that she does. The one that got me was where her husband.
Can we link to that one in particular?
Sure. Her husband made this like drawing prompter generator. So you would like click it and it would scroll through a bunch of people/characters, and it would give you like a person or character, and then it would give you a like situation to draw them in. So like the first video of hers I saw, it was Gordon Ramsay as a magic princess girl. And it's like the best thing, but it's really cute best. Because she's doing kind of like funny commentary as she draws it, and then often like
there's a lot of personality.
Often her husband is next to her or in the other room or like comes by and is like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Don't judge me," you know. But it's really funny, like them interacting, and it's very wholesome. So she has like the random generator series. She has one where it's like drawing states as people. I keep waiting for Texas. She hasn't done Texas yet, but she's done a bunch of them. She does various things, but
that's a great series, because like,
right?
you want to see your state.
I know. Yeah. I really want to see Texas. But yeah, so Oddity Draws, we'll link to the Gordon Ramsay because it's so good.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's a wrap on today's podcast. Thanks for being patient with us as we space these out a little bit more. It really has been so good. I think I've said that in like the last three of these podcasts.
We're still feeling it.
Still feeling it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, if you felt this podcast, I would really appreciate it if you gave us a 5-star review, if you shared it with a friend or family member, or if you do other things that support it. It's like, we're on so many platforms. I'm like, what do people do for podcasts again? What's the thing that I ask them to do?
I mean, you could also just say the same thing that we do on YouTube videos, which is like, subscribe to the podcast channel or leave a comment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you're watching this on YouTube, do those things.
Yeah.
All right, guys. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.